Mr. Ralph Bellamy stars in Experiment Perilous from Studio One at CBS.
You can carry discipline too far, Mr. Betterell. When it changes to fear, then you've lost your results.
Fear is a weakness. If you're strong, you have no fear.
Fear is not a weakness. In its extreme form, it's an illness. It needs help.
With a moment from Experiment Perilous by Margaret Carpenter, we invite you to Studio One, a full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's own playhouse. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Marshall.
Tonight we bring you the story of a perilous experiment, one which was conducted not in a scientific laboratory, but within the luxurious Park Avenue apartment of Nick and Alida Bedereau. Experiment Perilous is a tale of tension and terror, and of the dark thread of fear. Tonight in our version for listening of Margaret Carpenter's novel, we're fortunate to have with us one of your very favorite performers. Mr. Ralph Bellamy. You're going to hear him as Dr. Huntington Bailey, a psychologist. Also, you'll be hearing Everett Sloan as Nick Bedereau, Gertrude Warner as Alida, and Hester Sondergaard as Clarissa. Please to begin. What is it? A slow, numbing poison, sometimes buried so deep in the human mind that it is not even suspected until it destroys its victim. Or it can be swift and evident, the kind of fear observed by Dr. Huntington Bailey as the transcontinental plane in which he is traveling lurches against the storm.
Stewardess?
Yes, Doctor?
How far are we from Chicago?
About 45 minutes, sir.
Any chance of an emergency landing?
If it gets any worse... Can I do anything for
you?
I'm
not thinking of myself. It's that lady across the aisle.
I've been watching her, sir. I know she's nervous.
I'd say scared to death. You have 36 other passengers. I'll keep an eye on her.
Thank you, sir. It's her first flight, and I suppose with a storm, it's natural.
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything natural about it.
You think we'll have to come down?
I don't know. If it gets any rougher, it might be a good idea.
I hope not.
That's surprising.
I know. I should be frightened. This is my first plane trip. I would be. But big worries crowd out little ones, don't you think?
It's a reassuring phenomenon.
I hope I'm not bothering you. It's good to have someone to talk to.
Go right ahead.
You're a doctor, aren't you?
How did you know that?
Well, something about you so sure and dignified and... And then I noticed you were writing on a prescription pad.
That's right. Notes for my day tomorrow.
I wish I had notes. You see, I don't know. I don't know what'll happen tomorrow.
Surprises will be pleasant.
Oh, but this is different. You see, Nick sent me away to the sanitarium 2 years ago. Oh, and Nick's my brother. Then Alida wrote me last week. She wrote me. She never did that before. She needs me. Something must have happened to make her write to me.
Aren't you worrying needlessly?
But she never did it before. Oh, she's so sweet. She's so beautiful. But something's wrong. That's why I must get to her.
You'll be there tomorrow.
I hope so. I want to be there for tea.
You know, you're extraordinary. This storm doesn't frighten you at all. Yet at the thought of being home tomorrow, you're shaking.
Yes, I know. I'm frightened. I wouldn't say that to anyone, but I want to tell you.
Fasten your safety belt, please.
Does that mean an emergency landing?
Yes, we're coming into the emergency field at Little Falls.
Oh, but we can't. We mustn't.
This is getting too rough.
But I haven't any time to wait. I must get there. Alida wrote me.
She'll forgive you a bit of bad weather.
Oh, it isn't a case of forgiveness. You don't understand. Doctor.
What?
I'm going to do something very strange. I have hunches about people.
Most of us do have.
Nick, that's my brother, doesn't like it. He says I have hunches instead of judgment. But I have a hunch about you.
Really? What sort of a hunch?
I like you. I knew before I spoke to you. And I think you could help me.
Help you?
Help Alida. Help Alida. Someone must.
Well, that's very kind, but surely your brother has his own physician.
Alida isn't sick. You must believe that.
All safety belts fastened, please. We're coming down.
Doctor, my name is Clarissa Bedereau. My brother is Nicholas Bedereau. This is my address. Here. Will you do something for me?
If I can.
Give me your card.
Very well.
If I should call you, will you come right away?
Here you are. Miss Bedereau, you mustn't worry like this.
I must know. You see, I've run away. Nick doesn't know I'm coming home. Only Alida. I don't know what will happen. But if I called
if
you...
If you need me, Miss Bedereau, I'll come.
Bailey, it's good to see you back, you old road here.
Thanks. Can't say I'm exactly happy to end my vacation.
You realize you've eaten your way through the club's best dinner and haven't said a word about your trip.
I fished and I read the essays of Montaigne.
And never let a woman distract you from either?
Too busy, Stan. I want to know something.
What?
Who is Nicholas Bedereau?
Nick Bedereau? Don't you know? A millionaire, sort of eccentric, collects art. He has one asset.
What's that?
The most breathtakingly beautiful wife in New York. Nick's mad about her. He surrounds her with every luxury.
Extraordinary.
Why'd you say that?
I met his sister, Miss Bedereau, coming back on the plane.
So she's home.
Stan, if I ever saw a woman in the grip of terror, it was Miss Clarissa Bedereau aboard that plane. And her one concern was Alida.
Good heavens, they've never gotten on. That's why Nick sent her west. Don't you know a psychopathic woman when you go on vacation? Nick's no charmer, but he's kind. He's taken care of his sister all his life, and certainly no woman has had more in this world than his wife. He and Alida have open house every Sunday for tea. Let me take you around and meet them.
Teas without patrons aren't exactly my dish.
Not even to meet the gorgeous Alida?
Least of all to meet the gorgeous Alida. I've got to get to the hospital. You still here, Kitty?
Why shouldn't I be, Doctor? You home nearly a week and haven't even warmed your own easy chair. I made you some soup.
I could use it. I don't like Sunday calls.
I mended your shirt, sir.
When anybody asks me why I haven't married, there's one answer. You, Kitty.
Oh, go along with
you. You don't ask questions, you don't get hysterical, and the buttons you sew stay on.
There's a lady been calling you tonight.
Did you tell her I was out?
She wouldn't listen. I could hear her, but she kept saying she had to see you right away.
What was her name?
I wrote it down near as I could. Miss Bedereau.
Bedereau?
Yes, there's the address. Now, sure you're going to wait for supper, Doctor.
I can't, Katie. Not this time. Don't ask me why. I've got a hunch. This is urgent. I'm Dr. Bailey. Miss Bedereau, please.
Did you say Miss Bedereau?
Yes, she called me.
You say Miss Bedereau called you?
Obviously. Will you please announce me?
Certainly, sir. I think I'd better speak to Mr. Bedereau first.
I'm a busy physician. I've answered this call.
I know, don't... sir, but... Well, I guess I'd better tell you direct.
What is it?
It's Miss Bedereau, sir.
What about her?
She died, sir.
Died?
Passed away this evening, sir, not half an hour ago. She died just after tea.
Really, Alida, I wish you'd try to manage just a little smile.
Oh, I didn't realize. I'll try, Nick.
We have guests.
It seems too soon. 2 weeks after Clarissa.
I've asked you not to bring that up again. It's too big a shock for me to discuss. We've always had guests Sunday afternoon. We shall continue.
Yes, Nick?
I've made you into a poised and civilized woman, Alida. You must conceal your emotions.
Yes, Nick.
We're having a new guest today. I would like you to be nice to him.
Who is it?
Dr. Huntington Bailey.
Dr. Bailey? Wasn't that the man who came here the night Clarissa...
It is. The stranger who paid us the curious, untimely call.
But why would you ask him here?
I choose my own guests, Alida. I ask only your courtesy to them.
Yes, Nick.
As a matter of fact, I went to some trouble looking him up.
Nick, you talk like this, you have something on your mind.
I usually try to have, my dear. I recommend the same practice to you.
What did you find out about Dr. Bailey?
Well, you know I don't care for doctors as a breed. Too cocksure, too practical.
But Dr. Bailey seems to have won some distinction. He specializes in psychiatry.
Psychiatry?
Yes. And as a student of human nature, I thought he might find our little household interesting.
What do you mean, Nick?
Just one of my little jokes, my dear. Are you losing your sense of humor?
Sometimes I think so. You don't tell me things.
Forgive me, my dear. My reason for inviting Dr. Bailey is very simple. Clarissa evidently knew him well enough to call him to this house. I like to know strangers who enter our family circle.
Dr. Bailey.
You're Mrs. Bedrow.
Yes. How nice of you to come. I don't imagine a busy doctor has much time for tea.
Not as much as I'd like, but when I received Mr. Bedrow's note, I felt I should come. I was very much shocked by your sister's passing.
It was so sudden. She seemed so happy to be home.
She was very happy to be coming home to you, Mrs. Bedrow.
Dr. Bailey, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Bedrow.
I'm sorry it took this unhappy family event to bring us together. You're a man I've heard a bit about.
I should say the same of you.
Clarissa wasn't often taken with strangers. She rather clung to her family. When she spoke of you, well, frankly, she was quite taken with you.
As a matter of fact, I met her at a rather tense psychological moment.
What do you mean by that?
We were in a heavy storm. The plane was tossing badly. When you meet a person in a moment of great fear, you establish a curious bond. You see, though she was a stranger, it's drawn me here.
Do you really believe that, Dr. Bailey? About fear?
Alida, I should warn you. Dr. Bailey is a psychologist. He specializes in people's fears.
Not quite, Mr. Bedrow. I believe in taking people as you find them. Your sister, for instance. If I ever saw a woman more free of a heart condition...
That's what I told Nick. It didn't seem possible, Clarissa...
Clarissa has been ailing for years. You, Dr. Bailey, were hardly in a position to make a diagnosis.
Quite correct, Mr. Bedrow.
I've always been a little wary of your branch of science, Dr. Bailey. Personally, I prefer to deal with reality.
I'm, first of all, a medical man.
I think what is inside a person is of very little value or matter. It's only what he creates, what small fragment of beauty he can add to this world that's important. Alida.
Yes, Nick?
Show Dr. Bailey the painting we've just had done of you.
Nick, please.
I'm rather proud of it, my dear. Dr. Bailey is a man of discernment. He cannot fail to appreciate
it. Oh, I'd love to see it.
I'll join you later, Doctor.
Don't you want to show me this portrait, Mrs. Bedrow?
I don't mind.
You can be honest with me.
Why do you say that?
I think I should tell you why I came today.
Why?
Because of something your sister-in-law said on the plane.
Dr. Bailey... You knew Clarissa only a few hours. She was good. She was kind. But sometimes she got ideas. If she said anything at all about this household, it was one of those ideas.
And you don't want to hear what she said?
I'd rather not. Here. This is the portrait. There.
It's beautiful.
You don't like it?
I don't pretend to know anything about art. It's... regal, your gown, your jewels, your beauty. It's magnificent.
But...
It isn't you. I shouldn't say this, but... I'd been warned of your beauty. It's all I thought it was going to be. But there's something else in you I didn't expect to find.
Please, let's not talk about me. I'd rather not.
Very well. But I'll just say this. If I were going to paint you, I'd paint you in an open field with sunshine, the wind blowing in your hair, daisies. Well, you're trembling.
No, I'm not.
You needn't be afraid of me, Mrs. Bedrow. I came here as a friend. Tell me honestly, you don't like that portrait either, do you?
I hate it. I hate it with all my heart. Dr. Bailey, if you never come here again, thank you for saying what you did.
I'm coming here again, Mrs. Bedrow. Alida. And I think you know it.
Well, Bailey, for a man who likes neither women nor parties, you were a great success at the Bedrow.
I didn't leave under that impression. I don't like that house, Stan.
None of us do. The curious thing is we all go back. It's Alida's spell.
You think I've fallen for that? I've seen beautiful women.
You've never seen anybody like Alida.
I don't happen to agree with you. I admit I was attracted by Mrs. Betterell, but it wasn't her beauty.
No, that's true. Alida is more than beautiful.
She's the most unhappy woman I ever met.
Oh, come. With all she has...
She's unhappy. I'd like to know why. But what I'd like to know even more is how a sound, healthy-looking woman like Nick's sister could die so suddenly in that house.
Good morning, Dr. Bailey. There's a patient waiting for you.
So early?
He hasn't an appointment, but he thought you might see him.
Send him in.
Well, he's already in your office. He has to wait there.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I hope this isn't too early for you, Billy.
Well, Mr. Betterell, good morning.
I won't take a minute. I'm sorry you had to leave so soon last evening.
It's a doctor's life.
How you fellas stand it, I don't know. Couldn't bear to deal with people's ailments myself.
Then it's better not to.
I want to congratulate you.
Congratulate me?
Yes. We have a lot of guests in our house, but Alida usually doesn't like them. For some reason, she liked you.
Your wife is a lovely woman, Mr. Betterell. You should be proud of her.
I'm very proud of her. Also, worried about her.
Indeed?
Well, surely you must have noticed how tense she is, how nervous.
Of course.
She's getting worse. I wouldn't mind, but she's losing her looks, and she's not doing the boy, our son, any good.
I see.
I've long felt if I could put her in the hands of someone she trusted...
Are you asking me to take your wife as a patient?
Precisely.
Isn't it up to Mrs. Betterell to choose her physician?
It would be, but... You see, I don't want her to feel that she's really ill. I thought if you, as a friend...
I'd have to think it over, Mr. Betterell. This isn't my type of case.
Perhaps not. But I can see the case already interests you. Alida is going to call you to have dinner with us. I hope, Dr. Bailey, that you'll accept. I'm rather counting on you.
Cocktail, Dr. Bailey?
If you join me.
Oh, I don't drink anything.
Then let's both just talk. It's nice being here again, Mrs. Betterell.
Nick wanted me to ask you. I was afraid you'd be bored.
Did you really think so?
Oh, I don't know. You're not like anyone I ever met before. Maybe that's what Clarissa saw in you. You seem so real.
I'm quite real, I assure you. Someday, when the loss is a little less acute, I'd like to talk to you about Clarissa.
I'd rather you didn't. Nick feels so bad.
I told you I'd wait.
You sound as if you were planning to come here often.
Would you mind?
I think I'd like it. So many people come, but so few return.
Tell me something about yourself. What do you like to do?
Whatever Nick likes.
You like art collections?
Well, he's taught me a great deal about art. About everything.
Tell me about your little boy.
What have you heard about him?
Clarissa mentioned him, that's all.
He's 5. He's beautiful. He stays upstairs in the nursery wing with his Nana. Nick prefers it that way.
Well, that's not very far away.
Yes, it is. Sometimes it's like another world, Dr. Bailey. Could I ask you something?
Anything in the world.
Well, Bailey, I'm glad you're here. I was delayed downtown. Good evening, my dear.
Good evening, Nick.
You don't mind witnessing a wifely kiss, Bailey. You're lovely as usual, my dear. Though a little pale. I don't like to see you pale.
I shouldn't be. I feel all right.
I hope so. If not, well, you have the right man here, eh, Bailey?
This is not a professional visit.
Of course. Is the boy in bed, Alida?
Yes.
I'll go up to say goodnight.
Let me go tonight, Nick.
You have a guest, my dear. A boy's father should be able to put him to bed, shouldn't he, Dr. Bailey?
A boy needs 2 parents.
I'll be right back. Tell Watson to serve dinner at once.
Dr. Bailey.
Yes?
You saw, didn't you?
Yes, my dear.
I'm going to do something I've never done before, Dr. Bailey. I think you've been sent here to help me.
Go on.
I might be doing the most terrible thing now, but I can't go on. I just can't. Not like this. Clarissa trusted you. I will. Dr. Bailey, will you do something for me?
Anything.
Find some way, some excuse of going to the nursery tonight. The second floor on the left. I want you to see my son.
And I believe that's the whole solution. Whether it's art or things of the mind. It's a matter of discipline.
That's true, but you can carry discipline too far. When it changes to fear, then you've lost your results.
Fear is a weakness. If you're strong, you have no fear.
Fear is not a weakness. In its extreme form, it's an illness. It needs help.
You doctors like to see illness in everything. I believe... Alida, what are you staring at?
The flowers on the table.
Well, they're very pretty. I admit I get a little tired of daisies, but if you like them...
I didn't order daisies, Nick. You know I didn't.
It's a small matter, my dear. After all, Dr. Bailey and I are having a rather serious talk.
Not much of a talk if it leaves Mrs. Betterell out. I think your daisies are charming.
But you don't understand. Daisies keep coming, but I ordered roses. I hate daisies.
Perhaps you forget.
I didn't. I know I didn't.
Let's all forget it, my dear. You know how I hate household details brought up at the table.
It won't happen again.
It's a lovely table. It makes a bachelor homesick for the comforts of a real dining room.
We must have Dr. Bailey often, my dear. He graces our table.
It's a pleasure. Mr. Betterell, I wonder if I could impose on the household just a moment.
Well, what would you like?
I make a practice of calling my office switchboard at this time in case there are any emergencies.
You're a slave to your work, Doctor. Go ahead. There's a phone next door in the den.
Or one upstairs in the hall, if you prefer more privacy.
Thank you. Will you excuse me?
Are you a friend of my father's?
Why, yes, and a friend of your mother's.
My mother has no friends.
Where did you get that idea? Everyone loves your mother.
No, they don't. Daddy says they don't.
Why does he say that?
Because she's beautiful. When people are beautiful outside, they're wicked inside. My mother's a witch.
You believe that, Alex?
Oh, yes. That's why I don't want her to come here after dark.
I see. Alex, you don't know me yet, but you will someday. And I tell you, your mother is the sweetest, kindest, loveliest mother a little boy could have. And someday...
Go on, Dr. Bailey.
Daddy.
I'm glad you came in, Mr. Betterell.
So am I. First Clarissa, now my son. You're taking quite an interest in this family, Dr. Bailey.
Somebody has to.
I had no idea how far you carried your professional duties. I'll thank you now to leave me with the boy.
Certainly. But I've made up my mind.
Have you indeed?
The case you consulted me about this morning, I've decided to take it.
Dr. Bailey, I couldn't stop him. I think he knew. I think he planned that you'd go upstairs.
I'm glad it happened.
You must go now.
Yes, I know, but I've learned something tonight.
What?
You're in danger, Alida. Clarissa knew it. You know it. That's why you wrote her.
I know it. I've known it a long time. He did everything for me, gave me everything, but he hates me.
No, he doesn't. But he hates something else. I don't know what yet, but it's deep and dark and dangerous inside of him.
What can I do?
Let me help you. Somehow, someday, Alida, I'm going to get you out of this.
From Studio One, Radio's own playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Ralph Bellamy starring in Experiment Perilous, a version for listening by Margaret Leworth of the Margaret Carpenter novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Ralph Bellamy stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Experiment Perilous.
Dear Stan, you'll probably never read this letter. If you do, it will be because I have failed. And if I fail, I want you to know the fact. I believe a shadow lies across the Bedereau household. It is dark and evil and deep hidden, but it is there. I believe Clarissa Bedereau died from it. I believe Alida Bedereau is slowly cracking beneath it. Whatever happens, I intend to save Alida. She is young. She's good. And I'm afraid I love her.
Excuse me, Dr. Bailey, for disturbing your writing, but there's a phone call for you.
Thank you, Katie. Hello?
Dr. Bailey?
Alida.
I can't talk very much, but I must see you.
Of course, I'll come right away.
No, not here.
My office?
No. There's a little tea room beside a flower shop on 29th Street, west, near 8th.
I'll be there in 10 minutes. Katie, if my office calls, tell them I'll not be available for an hour. Alida, my dear.
It was good of you to come.
But sit down. You look as if a cup of tea wouldn't hurt you.
No, I can't stay that long.
Doctor's orders. We'll take this table in the corner. Loosen your coat. It's warm in here.
This is a funny little place, Hunt, but I thought...
It's an excellent place. At least for a few minutes I can sit and look at you without the world leaning over my shoulder.
Hunt, you mustn't talk to me like that.
Why not?
Because it's impossible.
Was Nick angry after he found me in Alec's room?
No, he didn't say anything. But he hasn't let me be with Alec since. My own child, Hunt.
I know. I understand a great deal more than you think. But you're no longer in this alone. I'm going to help you. Alida...
Hunt, please.
I want to give you happiness, whether I ever see you again or not.
No one's ever talked to me like this before.
Alida, why did you marry Nicholas Bedereau?
Because he wanted me to. I met him in Vermont. My father ran a country inn. I was very young, had a sweetheart. We were to be married, and he died. Nick was very kind to me. He offered my father to send me abroad to school. When I came back...
He married you?
Yes.
And now you buy daisies to remind you of Vermont.
I don't buy them. He does it. Oh, but I told you too much. I have to go. Hunt, believe me, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Except to make things worse. Nick is my husband.
I must accept that.
Yes, you must, Hunt. You must. Nick can be kind to me if I don't anger him.
That poor child.
Goodbye, Hunt, and thank you. Please don't try to...
What's the matter?
Did you see him?
Who?
That man outside the window.
What man?
I've seen him every day now for more than a week. He's been following
me. Alida, are you imagining things?
No, I'd know him anywhere. He is following me. Oh, Hunt, I'm frightened. Frightened.
For the love of heaven, Hunt, where have you been? I've been waiting here at your office nearly an hour.
I told them I wouldn't be here.
I'm a sick man. I have to go to a banquet tonight, and I've got a fine case of chills.
Go home and go to bed.
Oh, you know I can't do that. Fix me up.
I don't know why I keep you for a patient.
My native charm, and all the important people I know. Incidentally, the guest of honor at this dinner tonight is your friend Nick Bedereau.
He's no friend of mine.
I don't like the man either. Looks more reported than human. But you seem to have made a hit with him.
Take these two pills.
Make a friend of Nick if you want, but don't fall in love with his wife.
Don't talk nonsense.
She's a beauty. She knocks him cold, but she's Nick's particular work of art.
Here, let me take your pulse.
He found her in the Vermont hills, you know. She had a rustic beau who was conveniently killed in an accident.
Killed?
By a car. Nick stayed around to console her.
That's all I can do for you, Stan. Go on to your banquet and get pneumonia.
Are you annoyed about something?
I have a few things in my mind, that's all. How do you happen to know so much about Bedereau?
I met him at one of those art showings. He was so surly and his wife so beautiful, I grew interested. Like every man who meets Alida.
Why do you say a cheap thing like that?
Wait a minute, Hunt. That's rough talk.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm tired tonight.
I don't know what you've got on your mind, but I have some advice. In case you're interested in the lovely Alida, my advice is to keep clear. To Bedero, she's the most valuable object in his collection.
I'm sure she is. As it happens, Stan, I don't need your advice.
Get your paper. What paper do you read?
Hello, Joe.
Oh, you're late tonight, Doc. I see you are.
Thanks. How's Billy?
Oh, he's fine now. Me and the missus ain't never gonna forget what you did for that kid.
I was glad I could.
You look all in tonight, Doc.
I am. Going home as soon as I pick up a prescription across the street.
You work too hard, Doc.
I'm sure of that. Well, I've got the traffic light with me now. Good night.
Good night. Doc! Look out! Watch it!
Holy mackerel! You all right, Doc?
Yeah. I never saw him coming.
He shot right across the light. Headed right at you. The guy must be drunk.
He headed right for me, you say?
Yeah, I never see anything like it. I wish I'd gotten his license.
You say you saw him pass the lights and come toward me?
With my own eyes. If I hadn't hollered, you'd have been a dead duck.
Yes. Yes. I would have.
You look sort of shaken up, Doc. You wait here. This is a stand.
I'm all right.
Let me get that prescription for you.
I've changed my mind about the prescription, Joe. There's something I have to do first.
Yes, sir. Can I help you, sir?
How long is the library open?
Till 10, sir.
I'd like some back newspapers, please.
Which ones do you want?
Any Vermont papers you have of 10 years ago, the month of July or August. Hello? Hello, Alida?
Yes?
This is Hunt.
Oh, hello.
Alida, listen very carefully and don't say anything until I'm through.
All right.
This is an order. I know now what to do. I want you to come to my office tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You and the boy, do you understand?
Yes.
Don't fail or I cannot be responsible for the consequences.
Right.
Tomorrow at 6. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, darling.
All, Dr. Bailey?
Yes, Miss Wilson.
Mrs. Bradshaw wants to see you in the morning, and Mr. Martin asked if you could stop by on your way home tonight.
Tell them both I'll see them tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yes.
That's all. Oh, just a minute. Did any flowers come?
Yes, roses. I put them in the reception room.
Put them in here with the box.
Oh, yes, doctor.
Have you the reservations?
A compartment on the 8 o'clock. It goes right through to Virginia.
Good. Now, call the service and tell them I'll not be available until tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
Miss Wilson, a young woman is coming here tonight with her boy. The railroad reservations are for her. If anyone calls or makes any inquiry about who was here, you know nothing, understand?
Oh, doctor, you know I regard everything in this office as sacred and confidential. Will that be all?
Yes. Good night.
Good night, Dr. Bailey.
Alida, my darling, in a few minutes you will walk into this office. Will your lovely manner, your beautiful face, your dark eyes that I'd like to see smile again. There will not be enough time to tell you all the things I want to tell you, so I'm writing this letter for you to read on the train. I'm sending you to a little quiet inn run by friends of mine in Virginia. You'll be entirely safe there. While you are there, you must think only happy things, that you're a normal, well-balanced young woman. And life and your happiness are still ahead. For I mean to bring them to you. I love you, Alida. And when I have the right, I shall try to prove it to you. Now I only wait your coming. Yours devotedly, Hunt.
Good evening, Dr. Bailey.
Mr. Bedero.
I realize this is a little late to make a call, but I felt I owed you an apology.
I'm busy just now, Mr. Bedero. Could we postpone this until tomorrow?
I think you will have time to talk to me. You were expecting my wife and the boy to call, were you not? Oh, come, you needn't look surprised. Alida tells me whatever she's doing.
Yes, I was expecting them, Mr. Betterell.
Yes, that's why I felt Alida couldn't come. I should come in her place. We can't expect to take the valuable time of a man like yourself and then waste it.
I see.
I thought you could.
You've been candid with me, Mr. Betterell. I'll be candid with you. I was expecting Mrs. Betterell and the boy. You asked me some time ago to take an interest in her case. I did. Tonight, I was going to recommend to Mrs. Betterell my prescription for her.
What was that?
That she and the boy go away at once, together, from this city and your house.
That was your prescription. To be given without my knowledge. Really, Bailey, you have no idea how amusing I find that.
I'm glad you do. Frankly, I don't.
You disappoint me, Doctor. I had admired so much your detached scientific attitude. I found it somewhat similar to my own.
I don't think there's any similarity between us. Scientific attitude implies understanding the facts.
Oh, this is too good. Really, Bailey, I wouldn't have missed. Instead of the psychologist, I find the victim.
Victim?
To my wife's rather neurotic charms.
I'll ignore the inference to tell you something you should know. There's nothing neurotic about your wife, Mr. Betterell.
Oh, come, Doctor. I understand some things. Alida is a child. She's never grown up. Despite everything I've done for her, she refuses to face the world as an adult. Instead, she imagines things. No doubt you've heard
what
them.
What things?
I send her daisies when she herself orders them. She's followed. I'm turning the boy from her. Oh, I'm sick of it.
So is Alida.
Alida, eh? I asked you to take the case because I thought you could withstand her charming helplessness. But I was mistaken.
You've said quite enough, Mr. Betterell.
Enough, I hope, to save you from your own absurdity. Dr. Bailey, I apologize for taking your time. Please send me a bill.
Good night, Mr. Betterell.
Good night. As for keeping her from the boy, it might interest you to know I agree entirely with your prescription. I myself put Alida and the boy on the train for Vermont this afternoon.
Excuse me, Mr. Bailey.
Yes, sir. Katie, come in.
Would you mind if I asked you something?
Not at all, Katie. Go ahead.
Well, sir, I never asked this before because I'm kind of worried. Was there anything wrong with the dinner?
Well, no, it was fine.
Is it my cooking has gone bad?
What are you talking about?
Well, it's the third night, sir. You put hardly a spoonful in your mouth.
Oh.
You've always done right by my
meals. Poor Katie, the dinner was fine. I'm a little off my appetite, that's all.
Oh, I'm that sorry to hear that, sir. But I don't wonder. Sitting up, your light burning till 2 or 3 in the morning, working your heart out.
Matter of fact, I wasn't working, Katie. I was doing something much harder.
And what was that?
Thinking.
Oh, that's terrible, sir.
For the first time in my life, Katie, I've been assailed by an overpowering specter of self-doubt.
And what is that, sir?
You're fortunate to be able to ask. I'll tell you what, it suddenly come over me. I've been a remarkably obtuse species of an idiot.
Oh, sir, not you, Mr.
Yes, it's taken me 3 days to realize it. 3 days and 4 nights. Tonight, I know what to do about it.
What?
Give you 2 days off for merit.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Before you go, will you get out some shirts and socks? I'm taking the midnight train for Vermont.
Hank, sir. Take you to the village, sir?
Thank you.
Where you be going?
Do you know a place called Storm Ridge?
The Betterer place? Sure, took lead on the boy. Begging your pardon, Mrs. Betterer out there a few days ago.
You know Mrs. Betterer?
Since she was a youngster. Prettiest girl in school. Her and my cousin, they were going steady once. That's my car, sir. Not much, but she goes. Hop in.
Thank you. Wasn't your cousin killed in an accident?
Yep. Hit by some hit-and-run fella. Just found him at night, lying by the road. Never found out who did it.
That's a pity.
I shouldn't be talking about it now. Her and Mr. Betterell, so grand.
Ah, they came back and bought a farm here.
Me liked it. Sort of different from New York, I guess.
Yes, of course.
Lucky you came today, sir.
Why?
My brother was out there yesterday. He's a plumber. Something wrong with the heating system. He was tinkering at it all day. If he don't fix it, they'll have to get out, Sheila boy.
It seems I did come at the right time. Can you drive a little faster?
Mother, why do we have to stay here?
Because Daddy wants us here.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't want me to be cold.
Alec, darling, I don't want you to be cold either. We're getting the furnace fixed.
Daddy said on the phone you did it on purpose.
Oh, Alex.
I want my daddy. I want him now. I'm afraid of you.
Alex, there's somebody at the door. I'm going down. Please stay here where I've put the heater.
Is it Daddy?
Daddy's in New York. Maybe it's the plumber again. Now you stay here. I'll be up later.
Alida.
Hunt. Oh, Hunt.
Oh, my darling.
I
didn't. No, don't talk. Don't say anything. It took me 3 days to figure out what happened. I've been so stupid. But I'm here now, and you're never going to get away from me again.
I kept hoping you'd come. But, of course, I knew what you'd think. Oh, Hunt.
It's all right. Everything's all right now. I know, Alida. I know everything.
What do you mean?
Let me get my coat off. It's chilly here. The cab driver said you had trouble with the heat.
It just happened yesterday.
You aren't going to be here much longer.
Hunt, I couldn't help it. He made me tell about my appointment at your office. He threatened that he'd frighten the boy. He's done it so often.
I know.
Then he made me get on the train. I don't know what he's going to do next, but he hates me, Hunt. He hates
me. He hates everyone, Alida. Don't you know that? He's a sick man.
Sick?
Mentally sick. So subtle, so deep hidden, no one knows. Unless they're searching. I was searching.
Searching for what?
Looking for the reason. The reason he lives the way he does. The reason he built that big, ugly house in New York. The reason he collects art treasures when he hasn't an artistic breath in his body. The reason he buys you daisies and has you followed. The reason he married you.
What do you mean, Hunt?
Isn't pretty, my dear. A man's self-destruction never is. I admit when he came to my office 3 days ago, he threw me off the track. For 3 days, I wondered and doubted. Then I knew. I knew by my heart, my feelings, my brain.
Knew what?
I was right. I'd always been right about you. My darling, we have a lot of time in the future to talk, but the present is always only a moment. I want to kiss you.
Oh, Hunt.
Darling, I love you.
And I love you. I've loved you from the first day you came to this house. All the empty years fell away.
I know, and you'll never be sorry, I promise you.
Darling.
Now, where's that boy of yours?
Upstairs.
Let's get him down and get acquainted. First, let's get a fire going in that fireplace.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Nick!
Sorry to startle you. Hello, Bailey. Been rather a cold wait out on that porch. But you walk into my trap nicely, Billy.
So it would appear.
You took rather longer than I thought. I was evidently quite convincing at your office. I resented putting in 2 beastly days in this forsaken village.
You've been here 2 days?
Yes, certainly, my dear, watching you every moment. I knew when Dr. Bailey got off the train this morning, the comedy would begin. It was an enchanting love scene.
It happened to be a true one.
Yes, I have no doubt. Alida, go upstairs to the boy.
No. No, I won't. You can't order me anymore. That's over.
This time I can.
Nick, why are you carrying that gun?
To make sure that my orders are obeyed.
You'd better go upstairs, Alida.
Yes. All right, Hunt.
It'll do you no good to telephone. Shall we say service has been interrupted?
Nick, what are you going to do?
That's my affair. Well, Dr. Bailey, once again you're a guest in my house.
Mr. Betteraux, I'm not interested in conversation. You've deliberately trapped me. You overheard what I said to Alida. Now sit opposite me with a gun. What do you propose to do?
Talk for a little while.
There's nothing to talk about.
I think there is. You've been quite clever, Dr. Bailey.
It doesn't take cleverness to recognize a madman.
Perhaps I am a little mad. I believe many brilliant people are.
Yours is not the madness of genius, Mr. Betteraux. It's the madness of despair.
You think so?
I know so. In fact, I know a great deal about you.
Interesting, Dr. Bailey.
The despair of a man who was always hated. A man whose mother died at his birth, and whose father committed suicide.
You know that?
I know that. I know as a boy you were weak, so you despised ugliness and weakness. You had money, so you'd buy power. You'd buy beauty. You collected art treasures, including a leader.
You're not only impertinent, you're rash, Dr. Bailey.
If anyone stood in your way, you removed him. The young village boy who gave Alita daisies. He was run down.
You're informed.
I myself was almost run down. Your sister Clarissa, she came in answer to Alita's plea for help when she saw you destroying the boy. Clarissa was wise, too wise.
You think I killed Clarissa, too?
I concede she had a heart attack. But she was strong and would have survived. I believe you let her die.
A remarkable theory.
I note you make no denial. As for Alita, you swept her off her feet, but she never loved you. So you thought you could hold her with fear by making her believe she was losing her mind. You almost succeeded.
All very interesting, Dr. Bailey.
Now you apparently are going to make the final mistake of all madmen.
Yes, what is that?
The last step that'll take you too far.
Thank you, Dr. Bailey. At least you've given me what I first asked you for, a diagnosis. You see, everything you say is quite true. I believe fear is the most important emotion of the human mind. The only unbreakable tie.
I have experimented. Dangerously, perhaps, but satisfactorily. I've wanted a leader, as many men have. But I've held her because fear is stronger than any love in the world. Now I'm tired. I should think so.
Tired of the pretense. Tired of the experiment. I'm going to resolve it.
By aiming that gun in your hand?
No. You see, things have gone wrong in this house quite by design. Perhaps in minutes the house will be quite full. I shall not be here. I will receive the condolences of the world on a regrettable accident.
You think you can get away with that?
Everyone in the village knows the heating system is out of order.
Federal, you're a fool. Open that window.
I wouldn't try it.
Alita!
Sit down, Bailey.
Federal, your wife and boy.
They were never really mine. And as I say, I'm tired of the whole experiment. Just 2 minutes more. No. 1 minute. I will be leaving. You will run to Alida. The house is a fire trap upstairs.
Federal, look out!
Why, you...
No good, Federal.
No. Oh.
Alida! Alida!
That's the story, Chief. The woman and the child got out. They apparently jumped. One of the guys is in the hospital in bad condition. The other was killed, burned beyond recognition. No, they say it was a bad heating system. The local plumbers were working on it for 2 days. Yeah, I know it's a front page story, but they won't let me in to see him. They won't let anybody, not even the police yet. Okay, I'll keep after it. Yeah, okay, Chief.
Bedereau.
Yes?
You may go in now.
Oh?
Don't you want to go?
I don't know.
He's asking for you, Mrs. Bedereau.
Is he?
Yes.
Then I'll come at once.
In here, Mrs. Bedereau. Shall I wait?
No, thank you. I'd rather be alone. Hunt. Oh, Hunt, you're better.
Of course I'm better.
They wouldn't tell me anything. I was afraid.
No, you weren't. You're never going to be afraid again. How's Alec?
He hurt an ankle when he jumped, but he's all right. What about Nick?
That's all over, Alita. Nick is gone. The accident couldn't be helped.
Poor Nick. Such a terrible way to go. Such an ugly way. It was almost as if fate...
It was an accident, you understand, Alita? An accidental explosion from faulty heating.
Yes, I know.
You must always remember that and forget everything else.
Yes, Hunt.
Where's Alec?
Downstairs.
Have the boy brought up, will you? I have a couple of things to ask him.
Well, what things?
First, I'd like to ask him how he'd like to help me farm a certain piece of land I know in Virginia.
Oh, how wonderful. You'll be the father Nick could never be.
The boy and I should have a lot in common through the years, my darling. Being in love with the same woman.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.